Tell me, hopefully you tell me some things right now that actually make me feel a little uncomfortable, and it's hard for me to respond correctly because it's so real and raw.
Welcome to Hoop Nerds with Billy Kegler, presented by the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association. We talk to coaches, athletes, and more to learn from their stories and apply learning lessons to improve each individual and stimulate growth for your program, team, staff, and self. Follow along as we explore success and failure en route to improving the game of basketball.
Before we jump in today, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. I've been associated with their products for a few years now, and I'm really impressed by their innovative and user-friendly shooting machines. They also are great people with tremendous customer service. It's no wonder why they have become the preferred choice among top programs around the country and world. I'm very grateful for their support of the show. Make sure to check them out at drdishbasketball.com and at Dr. Dish B-Ball on social media. Be sure to mention WBCA when ordering your next Dr. Dish to save an extra $300 off any commercial purchase. Coach Arginal, welcome to the Hoop Nerds podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. Appreciate it.
Well, let's dive in. Tell me about the first time you coached and memory that sticks with you from that.
Well, I think the first thing that jumps to my mind is probably something that has nothing to do with coaching. I was a graduate assistant at Arizona State working for Rob Evans. And the first thing that pops in my head about coaching is you do nothing that it has to do with coaching when you're a graduate assistant when you first start out. So you're checking classes. I remember getting up at like 6, it was like 6 a.m. every day, and I was rebounding for Kevin Kruger, who's now the head coach at UNLV. He was one of our players, so I was working him out for about an hour, hour and a half, and then from 8 to about 1 o'clock p.m., I was checking classes. So I always say, you know, you have to kind of understand how this whole thing works and what coaching is all about and making sure people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, but also kind of owning your role. And I will always say in my career, I've been in every single coaching role that you can be in. And so I really want to appreciate graduate assistants and everybody that's getting into the business and understanding where you start and where it can go. But also, like, there is a process to this. You can't, you know, skip steps. You have to be okay with not having an ego and doing your job. So my first is not coaching. And then I would say my next year, I was an assistant at UC Davis as a young assistant. I was maybe 22, 23, Division I assistant, thought I knew everything. And I remember my first scout, and we were in Nevada, which is kind of weird because I ended up coaching at Nevada and spent hours upon hours doing tape deck. People don't even know what that is now, with a VHS tape. And going back and forth with it and rushing through it. And suddenly, like, I'm getting close to time when it's having to do my scout in front of the team, and it still wasn't done. I've been going all night. So finally, I end up getting it done right before, literally 5 minutes before we get in front of the team. I walk in there, throw it all out there, and start doing it in front of the team. And it was so bad. Gary Stewart pulled me outside, and he said, "I'm going to give you your first lesson of scouts, which is you may know the information, but if we walk out and we don't know it, we're in deep trouble." So that's something that always sticks in my head. And two quick ones that kind of give you where I started and where I am now. So,
all right. Awesome. So talk to me a little bit about the journey from there. You just mentioned UC Davis. So walk us through from that point to where you are now.
I always say in my career, I'm probably a fish swimming upstream a little bit. And, you know, I played Division II basketball for UC Davis. Like I said, I started at Arizona State, went to UC Davis back as an assistant. And then, you know, I always say this for coaches, you know, I was given opportunities, and sometimes people always ask, well, why did you jump from here to there and go from this place to this place? And I think that when opportunity knocks, you have to be prepared. I've always been into adventure in terms of, like, my career. My wife, was a player as well. So I'm lucky that I have an unbelievable wife that's been fired up about moves and different changes. But from Davis as an assistant, I was an ops guy at UTSA for Brooks Thompson, which totally opened my eyes to all the recruiting even more, you know, going to Texas and being somewhere different than the West Coast. I went from there back to the Division II level. I always say, that was a great moment for me, having to have the recruiting responsibility on my shoulders. I think every young coach should coach at a lower level, Division II, III, junior college. You know, again, when I say lower, I mean not Division I. You know, I am a true believer that you make the big time where you're at. So, you know, coaching at Division II was like coaching at Duke for me. And so I coached at Chico State, but I had all the recruiting responsibility. I did everything. And that really prepared me kind of for my next, you know, 10 years of coaching. And from there, I went to UC Davis again as an assistant for Jim Les, and then went to Rice for Ben Braun, who's, you know, a Hall of Fame type coach, you know, has some Wisconsin ties again, you know, and has coached at a lot of different levels as well, Cal, Eastern Michigan, and Rice. And then, you know, from there, I was able to be a Division II head coach at Cal State East Bay. So you can see I have a lot of jumps. It's like one of those Southwest Airlines maps that on the napkin that jumps from spot to spot to spot to spot. So I don't want to bore you with all the different spots. I then went to Nevada with Coach Musselman, Cal State Fullerton, and now I'm at Arkansas. So there's a ton of different spots and stops, different regions. The one thing I always say, though, is, like I said, I've been really, really lucky, blessed that I've had the opportunity to be in probably every role you can be in. You know, I don't think I've ever been a special assistant or one of those type, but I've been in a lot of roles. I think, like I said, you appreciate, you understand what it takes to run a program at every level. You know, a budget of $10,000 for recruiting and a budget that maybe an Arkansas has now. So it makes you appreciate what you have and understand how to make a lot out of not so much. So.
Yeah, and one of my favorite quotes is, your position determines your perspective. And through your journey, you've held a lot of positions under different people. So you've been able to gain a lot of different perspectives. So with that, I'm curious about your young coaching career and an idea or a theory that you thought was ironclad, that through now your experiences and your different bosses that you've had, you've been presenting new information. So what's something you've changed your mind about in your coaching career?
A really good question. And there's a lot. You know, I think the number one thing is, you start this business and coaching thinking that it's going to go one direction and that's the only direction it can go. I started thinking I wanted to be at Division I. I didn't care what level was at. And then suddenly you change and you evolve and you go, wow, I really love playing the Division II level. I thought it was the most pure level of basketball. I wanted to get back to that level as a head coach. And then I got there and I thought, wow, I'm at this level, but I think I can do more. And I still want to achieve different things. And I went for this next step, going back into Division I at Nevada, Fullerton, and Arkansas. I think what changes also is why you take jobs. Like, that changes for me. And what has changed is not just wanting any head coaching position, but wanting one that really fits you, one that you're aligned with your athletic director, one that has, you know, a stable situation, and one that you can really win in. And understanding what fits you, I think that's something that changes. Is I love a college town. I love a city that is excited about the game, you know, and about your team. And you learn more and more about that. I think that, to answer your question, well, I can take any job, just like some coaches say, I can coach any player. It doesn't matter who he is. It doesn't matter what type of personality he has, what type of character. I can impact him. And I think that as we change through our coaching and life, you realize, well, that's not the case. No matter how good you think you are, there's always going to be some non-negotiables that you're going to have with a job, with a person that you bring into your program. And so I think that has changed for me as well, what those non-negotiables are for a job or for coaching as I've gone along. But that's taken a bit to get here. And here I am 19 years later. And I think that's still adjusting. But I think you really grow with what you want. You know, I have a wife and two boys that are 13 and almost 11 now. So family has always been my number one. It's always been my North Star as what I do. So that has never changed. But you always, again, you grow with this job, which maybe you do more so in any other job that you can be in.
Yeah, I love it. So you have been a head coach and you've been an assistant coach for multiple people. So I'm curious, what sort of value have you been able to pull out of your head coaching experience that you bring to your assistant role that assists your head coach in a better capacity because you've had that experience?
You're a better sounding board. I think that I understand, and everybody says, well, I've sat in that seat, so I understand it. Well, you don't. You know, I don't know what Coach Musk is going through because I've never been head coach at University of Arkansas or at Nevada or with DJ Taylor at Fullerton. What I do know, though, is how your brain does change. And you've been a head coach, and so you understand when you go to bed at night, the hundred of things that you're thinking about. I have to make sure that my guys are all to class tomorrow morning. I also have to make sure that we're prepared for practice. We have this trip coming up. We have a road trip here. We have this. I have a dinner I have to go. So there's so many things where as an assistant coach, you're focusing on these 10 players that you're recruiting. You're focusing on the players that you're really taking care of and have a relationship with on your team that you're talking to their parents. And so as a former head coach, and I think as a former Division II head coach, you understand all the inner workings that are going on every day for him. And if you can take a simple one out from under him, which is make sure our graduate assistants are dialed into what they should be doing, or make sure that our current student athletes are okay when it comes to our 11 new players and are they home? You know, you have more of a connection to your head coach. And then I think that for the head coach, they have a little bit more trust in you because you have experienced it. Whether it's not so much whether you've won a lot of games or you've lost a lot of games. It's have you felt the feeling? Have you had to make tough calls to a parent? An example, we had somebody get hurt. Have you made the call to a parent that says, hey, this unfortunately has gone on. I just want to give you a heads up. You know, can you help your coach do that when they're running off to go do this? And so there's all these different ways that you can be a step ahead, which is really hard to do. I work for a really smart coach in Eric Musselman. So he's a step ahead of a lot of people. So it's hard to get ahead of him. But you have to try to help him as much as you can. And you have little areas that probably are your strong suits. And I think every coach has, whether or not great, they work those things. And I try to help him with some of the things that he, you know, really needs help with in terms of whatever it is at that time or day or situation.
And I bring that up because you made a good point. Like, you don't know what it is to be a head coach until you've been one, but that's the hamster wheel of getting experience, right? No matter what profession you're in, people always want you to have experience with that. Well, how do you get experience with that if nobody's willing to give you a chance to get experience? And that's the difficult part for assistant coaches, is they won't have head coaching experience because it's very, very hard to get those jobs. But I like to share with them, what are some things that you might have to do to prepare to be a better assistant, even though you don't have the head coaching experience? So we're talking about head coaching experience, and someday you'll be a head coach again and you'll take on your own program. So I'm curious, what's one thing that you're going to take with you that you think is going to make the biggest positive impact for your team, that whether it's your next head coaching job, the next after that, whatever it is, you're going to carry it with you wherever you go?
That's a really good one. And I think what you hit on is the situation of getting your chance as a coach to do it. And I was very lucky at like 30, 31 to be a head coach. And obviously like you, I'm confident I'll be able to do it again, but this business is so short lived for head coaches, as you know, and everybody knows. You have a short window of 4 to 6 years, usually is your little window that you get to do it at the Division I level. And if you're lucky enough to do it longer, that's awesome. I think the biggest thing that I will always do, and it always comes back to you are who you are, you know, and I'm all about relationships. I'm all about, you know, helping them to become better men, winning along the way, but not sacrificing some of the things that the core values of who I am. One thing that I will definitely always do and have taken it with me and have seen other coaches do forms of this is the most simple thing, but it's meeting with the players every single week individually. And that's something like as simple as that sounds, and you can say, well, I do that, but truly making a time and carving a time out of the day, like we're doing right now, to actually talk and to sit there and go face to face and talk about family, then academics, and then some hoops a little bit at the end of it. But really make sure that they know. And I felt like my time as a head coach, doing that weekly, I did it every single week as a head coach, and I made sure that it was scheduled, but it happened a lot more once you start scheduling them, that it made a big it made a huge difference because you have so much going on, but to touch them and sit there, and that might take all Friday, truly all Friday, like in the fall. You might go from 9 a.m. and the first one's supposed to be 15 minutes. It ends up being an hour and 20 minutes because somebody's going through something. And I think that sharing your time with them, I think it's invaluable. And I think the relationship piece of our business is slowly not getting worse, but it's getting harder and harder and harder. And we're losing that. And if you coach, like you and I know, it's all about the young men you coach and having a relationship, true one with them, not now, but for the rest of their life.
All right. Can we dive into those conversations a little bit? And my first two questions are bookend, one for the front end of the conversation, one for the back end. So on the front end of the conversation, if you have like the first or second meeting you have and a kid's just not opening up to you, what sorts of tips or tricks do you have to try to get them to feel comfortable with you, to get them to open up, to start that conversation rolling? As many listeners know, I spent over 6 years as a general manager at Just the Game Fieldhouse in Wisconsin Dells. I was able to spend time talking hoops with coaches like Tom Izzo, along with high school and youth coaches, in addition to meeting some basketball legends, including my childhood favorite, Sam Elke, who is in the WBCA Hall of Fame and High School Basketball Museum, located at Just the Game Fieldhouse, which is a must visit for any true hoop nerd. They also play host to the WBCA All-Star Games and Coaches Clinic every year. Just the Game hosts over 70 basketball and volleyball tournaments annually and is a great place to play for teams of all ages and ability levels. You can't beat all Wisconsin Dells has to offer in your free time. The Fieldhouse also has two sister companies in Just the Game Impressions and Just the Game Live. Just the Game Impressions specializes in customized screen printing and embroidery and promotional products. They serve businesses, schools, sports teams, and more. Just the Game Live takes pride in providing affordable and simple live streaming solutions for venues or programs of all kinds. Inquire today for more information. For more info on everything Just the Game has to offer, check them out at justthegamefieldhouse.com.
Sideline Interactive delivers digital and LED scoring tables and video boards that generate excitement in your gym and the ultimate game day experience for your players and fans. We provide you the blueprint and the game plan to generate $10,000 or more in sponsorship revenue every year. 95% of our schools generate enough advertising dollars during the first school year to pay for their purchase. Any school or college can qualify for no fee, no interest financing over two school years. We're ready and able to deliver your order to you within 3 to 4 weeks. The tables and boards can be used for any indoor sport, as well as watching game film, school assemblies, signing days, or any other event that is held in your gym. Visit sidelineinteractive.com or call 832-786-0302 to schedule a 15 to 30 minute live web demo to see our tables and boards in action and what these fantastic products can do for you. Or email sales@sidelineinteractive.com. A link to sidelineinteractive.com is in the show notes for today's episode.
I just had one of those yesterday and I told him, I said, hey, I'm going to be like Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting. And I'm not talking until you talk. So we're just going to stare at the clock and I'm going to let it go. I think the number one thing is sometimes you can't have it be scheduled, but you know it's scheduled. You know how you're starting this, but they can't know that that's the way that's going. And I guess that's kind of a funny way to say it, but like, bringing somebody into your office and just say, hey, hey, come up here. I want to show you something. And you start talking about a picture in your office and somehow it gets going. I think that there's players that you know are hard to break the core. And so an example of that is like when I call recruits at times, like I'll be driving with my kids and I value my time with my children. But there's times where I will call and FaceTime with my boys, a recruit, because that recruit has shown that they love talking to like little kids and my kids and they like them. And it opens, you have to dig into something that allows them to like take their guard down. Right. So, you know, for me, I'm a dad. So I talk a lot about my children, my family, so that they know I'm a dad. Like they know that I have faults. I'm not just this coach. I'm 41, but I kind of feel like I'm still not 21, but I'll give myself like 30. I still feel like I'm young and I can, you know, I'm not going to talk about all these different things that they're all into, but I'm going to talk about just on a lighter level. I think that as coaches, we can make fun of ourselves. And I think that's a big piece of it is opening them up by that part of it. I've never had a huge problem with getting it out. There's a couple kids I could never really break in terms of breaking into what's truly going on. But I think at the end of it, you also, like you said, a bookend of it is also, you never want them just to talk the talk, because you're a coach and you want them to tell you what you want to hear. So my whole thing with these conversations is I'd rather not have it if it's going to be fake. And I always say that to them. It's like, you're going to tell me, hopefully you tell me some things right now that actually make me feel a little uncomfortable. And it's hard for me to respond correctly because it's so real and raw. If we get to that point, if we're at that point, then we've broken down some really good walls. We're not coaches and players anymore. We're mentor, friend, mentor.
So at the end of a conversation that isn't going so smoothly and it's like pulling teeth, what is a way that you can navigate the closure to that conversation so it ends in a positive note, so they feel like they're comfortable coming back for more?
Well, I would say that the number one thing in terms of ending a conversation the right way is making sure that they know that you care about them, making sure that they know that as you go through this, that like this conversation means a lot to you and you appreciate where they're going with it. I do think though that like, as I get older in coaching, and I wish I could tell my younger self, like a Bob Seger song, you know, like song, like I wish you could know now what I didn't know then, or whatever the line goes, is, you know, you also have to challenge them a little bit to understand like, hey, part of your experience now moving forward as a man, as a father, husband in the workplace is you have to be able to do this. You're going to have a boss and you have to be able to have this conversation and understand that, hey, something's affecting what you're doing in the job or this is going on. We have to be able to communicate and talk, and maybe it didn't go great. But the way that I always end it is like, I love you. I'm here for you. You got to be able to come back here. And then like, don't make me search you out as much as like maybe you want me to right now, because you don't want to have this conversation. I hope the next time we talk, it's like, it's a little bit more natural for you, which some guys, it will never be like that. And we know that's just how people are. It's okay. And I think that's an improvement that I've made as a coach. I'm a passionate guy, energetic guy. I feel like I'm pretty easy to talk to. And I, as a head coach, I really struggled when I started off with guys that weren't like me, guys that were introverted or not talkers. And that's an area that I felt like I've really improved as a coach, was taking those extra moments to try to get to know them better so they know that I appreciate who they are.
All right. So in there, you mentioned FaceTiming with your kids with recruits, which leads me into this question for you with recruiting. If you could ask a recruit only one question, what would that one question be in order to get to know them, to know if they're a good fit for you and whatever program you're running at the time?
Well, for the current place I'm at in Arkansas, it would be, you know, how badly do you want this? And tell me what this is. Those would be the two questions. Like, that would be it, right? So, like, how badly do you want it? Because where we're at in terms of Arkansas is we're trying to win a national championship. We're recruiting the best players in America. And every other school that we're competing against for that is doing the same thing. And so we feel like our separator is Coach Musselman on down. We're pretty driven people. We're really into it. We're super passionate. And that can wear certain people out if they're not just into it. You know, like, you're passionate about basketball, Billy. Like, I can tell when you start talking about it, you have, everybody knows you. You're into it. You love it. It exudes out of you. If you get in the conversation and how badly do you want it? And it's like, oh, I want it. Yeah, I like that. If it's not like, coach, this is it, you know, like, if that's not it, then Arkansas would not be a great place. For myself as a head coach, you know, the number one thing would be for me is, like, how badly do you believe in yourself? That would be my question to really, like, how badly, like, and if that guy can say, like, I know that I can do this, or I really like people that believe in who they are and are willing to take chances. Because for me, when I'm a head coach again, to play for me, you're going to have to take a chance. You're going to have to believe that school that I'm at, you're going to have to believe in yourself that you can make an impact to really influence that school place me. And I always say this, like, I was a head coach before. You have to, that person that hires you or whoever, you have to really believe and want to be able to take a chance. So how badly do you believe in yourself is a big question to me.
Okay, you got me going on this now, and you keep rolling me into more questions that I have for you, which is awesome. So how badly do you want it for yourself? Don't all 18-year-olds have full confidence in themselves, and they're going to tell you that every time? So how do you weed through that?
It's true, but I do believe this. And again, I swear, I feel like the honesty piece of this, they give up more than you think they do at times in these conversations, because they always leave their tracks to what they're doing. You know, like, okay, to your point, how badly do you want this? If you really recruit somebody, which, you know, you've done it, you've won championships, you've been around, you've really gotten to know your recruits and players, or else you guys wouldn't have won. Once you recruit somebody and you communicate with them, you're texting with them, you're in these, you know them pretty, you know, you, it's like, you know, their schedule as a human. Well, you'll start realizing, you'll know the answer to their question almost before they do. And so I think they give up their answers very quickly, because then you can then say, well, then why every time when I FaceTime you, are you laying in your room? Or why when I talk to this person in your life, they said this about you? Why when I called the strength coach, they said that you're late? You know, like, you can always go back to it and you can decipher really quickly. So I do believe it, but you are right. At 18, and even coaches that really want young people to be successful, they're really trying to push their player in a pot. They're only trying to help them, right? And I think that that's really going back to your point, is like, you have to get to know not only the players that are in your program, the players you recruit. And nowadays it's really hard to do, because I do think that what you just said, people put on a fake facade of who they are. On social media, I was in the gym at 12:03 a.m. Well, like, when you talk to people around them enough, you realize what's really going on. And so that's part of our process of doing due diligence. And that's something, like, I've learned so much as my 19 years, is it takes time to really get to know somebody.
All right. Well, let's get out of here on a non-basketball related question. And you got young kids, so hopefully this is right up your alley. So if you could have one superhero power to obtain, what would it be and what would you do with it?
You have the best questions of all the guys I've ever. Number one, okay, that's easy. One, I'd want to be able to fly. Easy reason. It'd help recruiting time. I wouldn't be out of the house as much. I could fly over to any gym at any time. I could go check you out, see your team, see your squad. But the real one would definitely be, going back to all of our questions, would be, could I get into somebody's thoughts? So now, as a college basketball coach, if I could read player Billy right here and understand how I can make him tick perfectly, then I think I'd be a pretty good coach, because I think I'm pretty good at it. But to be able to understand, hey, I just said great shot to him and that had no effect on him, or I said this to him and now I got him going a little bit. I challenged him about how slow he was running and now he's running faster. I said he did, you know, if you could do that and understand somebody in that. Now, I don't know if I want to do it around my wife and my kids too much, you know, because I probably annoy them too bad. But I think that would be something that would be right up my alley to try to help us be better and try to help me do my job to help these young men a lot better.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate coaching tool and create a lot less gray hair for us, right?
Yeah, it's coming in on me pretty bad. So.
Well, Coach, thanks for the time and thanks for coming on the Hoop Nerds to share your experiences and thoughts with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. And again, I apologize that it took us a while to get together, and thanks for squeezing me in your busy time.